Daniel chapter number 2. I want to begin reading in verse 31. Thou, O King, this is Daniel speaking, and he is explaining to Nebuchadnezzar concerning his dream, and in a little while he'll interpret that dream for him. But he says, Thou, O King, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold, broken to pieces together, became like the chaff, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carrieth them away, and no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And may the Lord add His blessing to that reading tonight. I ask you to pray. If you know how to pray, I ask you to pray and ask God's help tonight, and that He'd give us the liberty we need to preach and say what needs to be said here. I'm sure after I'm done tonight, I'll probably get comments from, no doubt, maybe from with here and even from without. But nevertheless, I'm going to preach what God's laid on my heart. And I trust you'll pray for me. Heavenly Father, we ask you for help, for grace, and for mercy tonight. And I pray that you'd provide power and unction that I might declare the Word of God. That thought that you have laid upon my heart, I pray, Lord, you'll help me with convey it to the hearts of your people. I pray, Lord, that you'll help me to expose that which needs to be. I pray you'll help me to preach with power and unction. Lord, may your people find insight, direction, and leadership for their life. May they find understanding. May they find grace from the Lord. I pray you'll save those tonight, Lord, that in our midst without God and without hope. I pray, Lord, that you'd revive the people of God. And Father, that you'd give physical and spiritual strength to me as I stand to preach tonight. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to read verse 32 and 33 again is where I'm going to draw my thought from this evening. Where the Bible said that this image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet of a part, feet part of iron, and part of clay. Now, I want to take those verses as God leads tonight, and I hope God will open up our hearts of understanding and speak to us and help us. And I want to try to preach for a little while tonight on the thought, one nation without God. I know that a judge recently ruled in California that it was unconstitutional for us to say the Pledge of Allegiance of America, of our flag, and to use the term there, one nation under God. Well, I'll be honest with you, I would fight for that right. I have fought for it, I will fight for it. And I think that we ought to continue giving the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And I want to say without any apology, as far as I'm concerned, love it or leave it. If you don't love America, get out of it. And if you've come to destroy America, go home. That's right. That goes for all those that have migrated to our country that are here for one purpose, and that is to destroy the freedoms that we enjoy and to tear down the blessed truths that we've enjoyed for a number of years. And I want to try to preach tonight on that thought of, God will help me, one nation without God. I'm satisfied that America is under the judgment of Almighty God. And a man would just about have to be a fool to think that God is in our midst in America.
Amen.
I have not found Him so. I don't find Him anywhere much in our churches.
Amen.
Where He is ordained to meet with His people, much less seeing Him in the country around us. I don't think a man would have to look far to realize that God has just about packed up bag and baggage and departed from our nation. I'm glad America was founded on Bible principles, that it was founded on integrity and truth and honesty. But I've got to honestly say, and from the depths of my heart tonight, that America is not one nation under God. I don't know that we're could really boast of being one nation. I see a nation that is divided on every hand. We're divided spirits, or should I say, we're divided religiously. We're divided politically. There's not anybody of any other denomination you can possibly agree and get along with. And our nation is split right down the hammer, friend, on politics. And so we're split religiously, we're split politically, we're just about split morally to the absolute pits of nothing in our country. Now, in the verses that we find the disclosure of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, the Lord has revealed it unto Daniel. And there's even some commentators that believe that the way it was done or accomplished was that the Lord let Daniel dream the same dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. I don't know how he could have known all this had God not taken him back through that dream to some degree. But at any rate, God had given that truth to Daniel, and he here makes it known to the king of Babylon. Now, the dream deals with the times of the Gentiles and the world empires during those times. This earthly power, by the way, is culminated, I've said this before, I'll say it again, is culminated when the stone cut out of the mountain without hands destroys the final world power and sets up His own kingdom here on the earth. I'm glad that there's coming a day when the King of Kings and Lord of Lords will rule and reign upon the earth. And He will rule with a rod of iron. Isaiah said the government would be upon His shoulders. And He will be a ruling monarch. Somebody said, well, I don't like monarchs. You're not going to like the millennial reign. I'm going to tell you, there's not going to be any vote going on in the millennium. He's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. That is, He will subdue a rebellion under His feet. There will yet be rebellion in the world, ladies and gentlemen. And that is why when the devil is loose for a little season and goes out to deceive all the nations, Gog and Magog, and gather them together to battle, that last great battle, that I'm telling you, people will flock after the devil, lock, stock, and barrel. He will go out to deceive the nations, amen, because they have lived in rebellion against God. I'm telling you, men, you'll have a part of that ruling. Amen. He's going to give us a place to rule and reign. We shall be kings and priests and shall rule and reign upon the earth with our God. Won't it be a blessing to put that ungodly crowd under our thumb, bless God, and call the shots for a change? You better believe it, Will. I'm telling you. Amen. I don't believe there'll be any liquor stores in operation. I don't believe there'll be any honky-tonks and dance halls. I don't believe there'll be any movie houses and theaters. Oh, no, He is going to rule and reign with a rod of iron, and righteousness will abound in the earth. Bless His wonderful name. Bless his wonderful name. Now I want us to notice the elements that this image is made out of or consists of. The Bible said that he has a head of gold, that his breast and his arms are made out of silver. His belly and his thighs are made out of brass. And his legs are iron, and the feet are made part of iron and part of clay. Hey, did you notice the descending values of that image? That head represents Nebuchadnezzar. A head of gold. Very valuable. It declines to a breast of silver. Still valuable, but nothing like that of gold. And then it even degradates down to brass, and then finally to iron, and then finally all the way down to iron and clay mix. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? That tells me that there is a decline in human values. Friend, there is a great deal of difference from a head of gold until we get down to toes of iron and clay. And hey, this world is not getting one bit better. In fact, it's a growing worse and worse every day. If you think, hey, there used to be a doctrine that Baptists preached, and they were post-tribbers and post-so forth. They believed that the world would get so much better and better and better until we would usher in the millennial kingdom of Christ. But I've got news for that crowd. Some things are not getting a bit better in America. I am now 55, soon be 56 years old. And I lived in a country that had some sort of morals to it. The home had some moral values. The church had the power of God. The country had the blessings of God. We were able to fight wars and come out victorious. We went into World War I and kicked the backside, amen, of that crowd over there and came home with victory. We went into World War II and we came out of it in victory. But I'm telling you, friend, from Korea to the present, we have never won a war. Oh, they can brag of what they've done, but I'm telling you, we left a Korea with our heads hung low at the 38th parallel. And we left Vietnam with Ho Chi Minh ruling and reigning the country. And as far as the Middle East deal or Iraqi deal is concerned, Saddam Hussein is still well alive and kicking. I'm simply saying, friend, that there has not been a war won. Somebody said, how can that be? I'm going to tell you how. The Bible said that the ungodly shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. I'm telling you, we're no longer a nation under God. We're a nation without God. I'm afraid that the sin and the ungodliness and the immorality that rules and reigns in the hearts and lives of people in America has destroyed the power of God, and God has withdrawn His blessings from us. We're not a nation under God. No, sir. I'll get to my message in a minute. Amen. America is no longer a nation built on God and living under God. Do you do understand what that pledge means when it says one nation under God? I say, people don't even understand what that means. That means that this nation lives under the authority and the rule of Almighty God. One nation under God. We are subject to God. We live by the Bible. We believe the Word of God. We walk in His commandments. We do the truth of God. But I'm here to tell you, we are far from that today, my friend. We're a nation of rebel rousers. A nation that has rebelled against the authority of God. A nation that has said, we will not have this man to rule over us. We are not a nation under God. We're a nation without God tonight. Amen. And I won't say without. Why are some of y'all looking at me so weird? It started out dead. It ain't going to get any better. You know why it started out dead? You came in dead. You came in dead. Amen. Ain't careful. Some of you may die 4 days. You're going to start stinking one of these days. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what it ought to do. It ought, hey, the condition of America ought to break our hearts and drive us to our knees as it did Nehemiah.
Amen.
Those men came from Jerusalem and told Nehemiah that the city had been burned, destroyed, the gates burned with fire, and the people were living in reproach. Oh, Nehemiah, the Bible said that he sat down and he wept and he fasted and he mourned and he prayed certain days. I'm telling you, it broke his heart when he heard of the condition of Jerusalem. But I'm telling you, it doesn't break our heart. It doesn't bother us anymore to know that God has got up and gone. You know why? We're living in our prosperity, friend. Oh, yes, we are. And, oh, yes, amen. And we'll make it some way. We've lived in a country of plenty, and we don't need God anymore. We've got everything that we need. I'm going to show you that in a minute. Amen. May God help us. One nation without God. There has been such a moral and a spiritual decline in our country that our hearts should be humbled. America's living in the fast lane. She's enjoying the party life. And for the most part, she's without God. No God in the country. No God in the church. And no God down at our houses. Now I'm telling you, it is destroying us. Amen. And it ought to humble us. But I'm afraid it don't humble us to know that God is gone. I want to mention three things that give evidence. It ain't nothing you ain't heard before. But I want to mention three things as evidence to the fact that we're a nation living without God. Not a nation under God, but a nation without God. Now hang with me. Somebody say amen and help me. I want to say that I see our nation without God because sin is abounding. God help us. I've never seen as much sin as what we allow in America and have the audacity to cry one nation under God. I'm talking about the sin going on in America. And you know what the mindset of the people are? All you got to do is hang a sign out on a beer joint that says, God bless America, and that makes us spiritual. I'm telling you, that's the mindset. God bless America. Some crooked politician gets up. God bless America. Some judge gets up. God bless America. And that makes America real spiritual and one nation under God. Oh no, I'm going to tell you something, friend. It takes more than words to make demoralize our country. We have degraded our country at the barnyard level. I'm here to tell you, friend, when people act worse and conduct themselves worse than animals do in the animal kingdom, I'm telling you, we have gone to the pits of depravity in America. It is no wonder that God has lifted His power, lifted His spirit. It's no wonder that sinners is going to hell. It's no wonder, my friend, that we can't have the power and the blessings of God. I'm afraid that God has withdrawn Himself from America. You'll never convince me that the wide open sins that's in our country has not brought the judgment of God to some degree. And you know what people equate the judgment of God with? Living in poverty. Doing without a few luxuries of life. God have mercy. I'm going to tell you what the evidence is of not having God. Friend, it's the blessings of God no longer on us, the power of God not in the church, the power of God not in our home, the joy of heaven not ringing in our soul. Son, you can have all the luxuries of life and be miserable. But you can be as poor, my friend, as a hound dog and have God and be satisfied and be full of joy. God bless America. And that makes us moral, makes us spiritual. We can say, God bless America, and sell liquor to somebody. Let them go out and get drunk, commit fornication, commit adultery. Kill somebody, rape some little old girl, kill some little five-year-old girl and throw her along the side of the road. Smack somebody on the back of the head. We've taken God out of schools. We've taken prayer out of schools and God out of schools and God just about out of every church in the country. And we wonder what in the world the problem is. This crowd over here at the Hopkins County School Board asked me to come over there and pray one night. And I did. They gave me a plaque. Said, we want to give you this plaque of the Ten Commandments. I said, praise God. I appreciate that. Where'd this come from? They said, we took it down off one of the walls in one of the schools that we had to take them out of. I'm telling you, you talk about hypocrites. Pull the Ten Commandments out of a school and then ask the man of God to come over there and pray over the very men and ask God to bless what they don't love. And I hope some of them are listening. Amen to God. Not a country. God's not in the country. God's not in the church. We're not a nation under God. We're a nation without God.
Amen.
And it's because sin is abounding.
Amen.
Matthew 24:12 said, and because iniquity shall abound,
amen,
the love of many shall wax cold. Somebody said, preacher, and I'm going to name few, and I know, and I'm not saying what I'm saying tonight to hurt none of you. But some of it may come close to home.
Amen.
How on earth can we expect to have God in America? A brother, when we are taking the lives of unborn babies by the millions,
amen,
somebody's going to give an answer to God.
Amen.
Hey, they want to take away the death penalty from a convicted murderer, a man that can take a five-year-old child and squeeze the breath out of that child after they have manhandled and raped and murdered that child. They want to take the death penalty out, but they'll turn right around and sign a bill that brings into law partial birth abortion and kill a six-month-old child in its mother's womb. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you think God can put His hand of approval on that, do you know what that comes from? First place I find it in the Bible was a man by the name of Pharaoh that tried to make the Hebrew population extinct by aborting the babies the minute they were born, taking their lives. And Herod followed suit in the days of our Lord Jesus. I'm telling you, that is a worldly practice, an ungodly practice, and we couldn't expect God to bless America as long as we're participating in that. Aren't we in a mess? One nation under God went and killed, multiplied millions of babies every year. Sin is abounding. I won't say secondly. I hope nobody don't puke on this one. What are we going to do about the sin of homosexuality? Bunch of them funny boys. And they've all got their rights. I read in the paper, I think, where it was yesterday, they may all met down at the city park just to celebrate their gay rights. Oh, you know, we were born this way. God made us this way. We are what we are but God. Oh, no, I'm going to tell you what it is. It's sin! Man with man, woman with woman, my friend, is a stench in the nostrils of God. Now, like what Brother Roloff said yesterday, he said, if God burned a city over that sin, what gives America the right, my friend, to promote it and cuddle up to it? What makes our politicians have the right to pass laws that forces that lifestyle into our schools, into our churches, into our family structure? And call two women living together a family. I like to see them give birth. Two men living together and they call it a family. They want full insurance rights for them. God help us. I'm going to tell you what God said about them. God said, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do that which is not convenient. I said it's not. And look up that word convenient, my friend. He said it's not right God, give them up to a reprobate mind and let them do that which is not right.
Amen.
Let them go. God, have mercy.
Amen.
Somebody said, now, preacher, what's that got to do with us? You'd be surprised. Maybe it's some of these little girls that they grow up in the society. We're living in one nation without God that'll grow up, get pregnant out of wedlock, and take a baby's life out of wedlock. You'd be surprised. Hey, mama. Hey, daddy. You might be entertaining some little sodomite sitting right beside you and don't know it. Amen. I want my boys to be men. And I want them to be manly. And I want my girls to be feminine and to act like ladies act. God have mercy on this crowd of women that want to be a man. We passed a thing, whatever you want to call it. Up in Evansville the other day, sitting there, and Miss Hall said, I want you to look at that. Said that thing looks more miserable than any person I've ever seen in my life. And there sat what was supposed to be a woman with her hair shaved up shorter than Ricky Vincent's back there. And I'm not exaggerating one bit. And sitting there in the corner, and she just looked like warmed over death. I would be too. If I was a woman and wanted to be a man, God help, I'd be miserable. I am a man, and buddy, 100% man, and I've never had a desire to be a little girl. Don't want no desire to be a girl. If I had a boy that acts like he wanted to be a girl, I'd beat the daylights out of him about 10 times every day, bless your heart. If I had a little girl that wanted to be a little boy, son, I'd do likewise to her backside. Amen. I'd get her out of them bullfighting britches, get her in a dress, make her walk every day with a pot or something on her head and teach her how to be a girl. I've seen some of these women in these magazines, and their muscles are swelled out. Looks like Mighty Atlas. Walk by the stupid thing downtown. There's some of them on the front covers right by the sales counter, and they got them arms all cocked up where they look like Mighty Joe Young. Walked in up at Marshall's the other on Friday evening. There stood one, whatever it was, turned her back, stood over there doing something. A man was taking care of us. Her hair was cropped up as short as Brother Billy's, and she had at least 6 to 8 earrings in each ear. Turned around and was cut way down low. I don't know what she was trying to be. I don't think she knew what she was trying to be. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. I'm just a preacher now. I'm going to tell you something else I don't like is to walk into these hospitals and into these doctor's offices and see a little sign over there that's got a boy and a girl both on it. Amen. I walked in a men's bathroom in a Hardee's over in Missouri. Walked in and walked up to use the bathroom, and somebody was sitting over there in the stall, and a woman hollered out and said, there's a lady in here. I said, I doubt that.
Amen.
Somebody said, preacher, why are you preaching this? Because I'm telling you, they're trying to set that mindset into the hearts and the lives of our children. And buddy, if we don't train them, teach them, raise them, grow them, and to nurture the admonition of God, they're subject to go that way. What are you going to do about the sin of drunkenness? And I ain't even got started preaching. It's already 7:30. What are you going to do about the sin of drunkenness, abortion, homosexuality, drunkenness? And we're just touching the hem of the garment. Wine is still a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Well, but Preacher Hall, you don't understand. Liquor will bring in revenue. Liquor will bring in businesses. Liquor will bring in industry. And we got to have liquor to satisfy everybody. Well, I'm going to tell you, you don't have to have liquor to satisfy everybody. Been a long time since I drank out of that fountain, buddy. And it's going to be a long time on down the road before I drink out of that fountain. Or we're just going to put it in the supermarkets and you'll never see anybody drinking it. No, but what does that 8, 9-year-old, 10-year-old, 12-year-old boy and girl think every time they pass that mess?
Amen.
What do they think every time they drive by Applebee's? What do they think when they drive by Bartholomew? I'm going to tell you what they think. They don't think nothing about the food. They think about the booze they sell in there. Now they want to put it in Muhlenberg County. You folks over that way are going to have to contend with the slop. I hate it. We have got to have liquor in every restaurant, every liquor store, every beer joint, every Walmart, every grocery store, every 7-Eleven station. Oh, yes, even down at the pantry store, you can't even buy gasoline without being around liquor. We wonder, one nation under God. God sure loves America. No, God loves souls, but God does not love what America is doing. Amen. What about pleasures? Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:4, they'll become lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And son, I could take that and preach all night. There's a whole lot of pleasures. There's sports. There's Hollywood. Somebody said, "Preacher, we don't do none of that." Hey, how do you know what your child's going to do? Well, I bring him to church every Sunday. David did Absalom too. Eli's boys were raised in church. And they grew up to be whoremongers sitting on the pew of a Baptist church. I'm telling you what you better do. You better pray and get a hold of God. I'm telling you, your children are going to have to make a decision on that mess on their own someday down the road. And if they ain't got a hold of something by the time they get up under your umbrella, they are gone, buddy. Amen. Pleasures. Hollywood. Oh, there ain't nothing wrong with Hollywood, Brother Hall. Come on in the house, children. You must not remember what I do. They had Bugs Bunny kissing a man when I was a boy growing up. Oh, I just get little innocent cartoons and play them on the VCR for the children. Compromiser, 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 compromiser. I won't charge you a thing for that. Don't say a thing about Hollywood. If you watch that stuff on a VCR and a computer screen, son, don't try to tell me how bad Hollywood is. What you're doing is trying to play on the lower end of the scale of it. Just a little Hollywood won't hurt. Thank you. And I have not even touched about adultery, fornication, divorce, murder, idolatry. Sin abounding. That's one reason we're a nation without God. We're getting places tonight, ain't we? But I'm going to get down to where we're living now. I'm going to tell you the second reason that we're a nation without God. Not only sin is abounding, but spiritual apathy. Now we're getting ready to put the rubber right down where you and I is living tonight. Somebody said, "Preacher, what do you mean spiritual apathy?" I'm talking about warmed over death is about what most of us are. We wonder why God's not showing up tonight. I'm going to tell you why. We didn't come wanting God to show up. We didn't come expecting God to show up. We didn't come trusting God to show up. Now bear with me. I want to say that we have forgotten our Redeemer. You know, when the Lord was bringing Israel into the land of Canaan, here's what He said to them. He said, "And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which He swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities." There you are, great and goodly cities. which thou buildest not. He said, I give you something you didn't even labor for. And a house full of good things, which thou fieldest not. Said, I give you a house, had everything in it, you didn't have to put nothing in it. And wells digged, which thou diggedest not, you drank from the water, and you didn't even have to dig the well, no labor involved. I give you vineyards of olive trees, which thou plantedest not. Said, you drank, if you use the olive oil, and you didn't even have to plant the tree. When thou shalt have eaten, listen now, and be full, then beware. Beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And I'm going to tell you what the thought is there, my friend. The thought is that in their prosperity, they forgot God. And I've learned that it don't have to be a great amount of prosperity either. We consider poverty in America, living in a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house and making $40,000 a year. You know what they said on the news Friday evening? Are you listening to me? That they're selling 100,000 Harley Davidson motorcycles every year, and the average family income of a family that owns a Harley Davidson is $76,000, and they sell them 100,000 of them a year. Ain't no wonder they don't want God.
Amen.
That one news reporter said, I think it's because people like to feel the breeze in their face. Some of them over here will probably get drunk and feel blacktop in their face before they get back to wherever they're going. Get spaced out on dope, son, and feel gravel between the teeth before they get back to where they're going. Now, I'm going to tell you something, son. In our prosperity, and I want you to get a hold of this. This will be the best thing that I'll have for you. In their prosperity, they forgot God. Do you know what that word forget means there in that text? It means to mislay or make oblivious.
Amen.
Can you imagine that there was a morning when you got up out of your bed and laid God down?
Amen.
And went off to our prosperous ways in America.
Amen.
And suddenly realized that we forgot where we laid God. Boy, I can't find my glasses. I left mine laying on the table today. Went up there to preach and didn't even have them in my glass case. Forgot them. How many times have you forgot something in your house? Lisa. Lisa, I think, called last Tuesday and said, Mom, have you seen my purse? I ain't seen my purse since Sunday. It was in the bedroom and she forgot where it was. Well, where is God? Oh, after all, I don't need God, man. I got my motorboat and got my money in my pocket, and I'll pick up God in the morning. I'll pick up God next Sunday. I'll get God the next time around. Now I know I put Him here on this table. Beware! Beware lest thou forget thy God. Now, I'm going to tell you where some of you in here tonight will find God. Right where you laid Him down.
Amen.
You'll have to go right back to where you laid Him down in order to find Him. You better mark words, God, Ed. I've laid Him down, mislaid God. Somebody said, you can't do that, preacher. Why'd they put it in the book? I think that's the Lord's way of saying, ladies and gentlemen, that we get so involved in worldly things.
Amen.
That we forget the God that brought us up out of the land.
Amen.
Of Egypt. We forgot the price.
Amen.
Have we forgot the price?
Amen.
That was paid, my friend, my God, have we forgotten?
Amen.
That it cost the Son of God.
Amen.
Every ounce of blood in His veins to redeem you and I.
Yes.
We forgot the pain and the suffering and the anguish, or do we even care anymore? Well, God, I know I laid you down over here somewhere. I know you said it was by blood. Have we forgotten the power? Have we forgotten the penalty you rescued us from? Can we not smile and come to church and worship God, folks? When we realize that He saved us from hell, He's brought us out of hell and given us a whole
home in glory. And I'm telling you, I'm afraid we have forgotten the price. We've forgotten the prayer. We've forgotten the penalty. And in doing those things, we forget God. Some of you have forgotten how good God's been to you. I know I laid him around here somewhere. Can I tell you what that little woman in Luke 15 did? She had a couple of little coins. The Bible said she lost them in the house. And she lit a candle and took a broom and went through the whole house, swept it until she found them. They must have meant something to her friend. Yet we can forget God and lose God. Sail on like everything's hunky-dory. I'm going to be honest with you, I had more liberty preaching in a nursing home today than I've got in here tonight. You come in here and sad sack around, molly grub around, expect somebody to get up and bail you out every service. Forgot God. They forgot the Redeemer. I want to say, secondly, I think some of us forgot our cleansing. Brother Paul said in 2 Peter 1:9, he said, "But he that looketh, that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Now, I'm going to tell you what, and I'm going to hurry through this. We're so slow, I'm going to hurry through this. I'm going to tell you what, he said, "Purge, you've forgotten that you were purged from his old sins." Hey, we wonder why we're not a nation. How can we have God when we forget God, and then we forget the fact that we've been purged from our old sins? And here's what Paul is getting at there. He said, you forget you've been purged from your... Or to mark that little three-letter word that says old sin. You know what you do when you forget you've been purged from your old sins? You go right back and do them all over again. That's why I've seen a fellow named Red Shirt. It's Bobby Bolton. I'm honest over at Bible Baptist Church. Laid cigarettes on the altar of Bible Baptist Church at least 25 times in 2.5 years. And he wouldn't stay off of them 2 days. They'd have them right back in his shirt pocket. And I'm going to tell you, there's some of you in here that if you ain't right careful, you keep going down the road you're going, it won't be long. You have a television set back in your house. That's right. Women will be back in their britches. I saw a lady the other day, and I love her. I love her in the Lord. I mean that with all my heart. I'd have never dreamed I'd ever seen that woman in a pair of shorts, but so help me, I saw her at Kroger's in a pair of shorts. Brother Doug's old man that used to be a member of this church just the other day wearing a pair of shorts. I'd have never have thought it. You know why?
Amen.
Forget!
Amen.
Forget! I'm telling you, we are leaky vessels, and we forget. That's why we come to church and try to put it in there and get a hold of something.
Amen.
Forget our old sins, and we go right back to doing what we once was delivered from. I want to say thirdly, people forget what they've learned. Deuteronomy 4:9 said, take heed to thyself. Keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life.
Amen.
But teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons.
Amen.
Let me ask you something, Daddy. When was the last time you set your family down, wife and children, taught them the Word of God? The thought there is, if we're not teaching them and living them, we'll forget them.
Amen.
And we can't teach somebody what we ourselves do not know, ladies
Amen.
And gentlemen. I want to say fourthly, we forgot our resting place.
Amen.
Jeremiah 50 and verse 6, I showed this to my wife last night. I said, you ought to use this. You've been teaching something on rest.
Amen.
It's all one word. Resting place is all one word. The only
Amen.
Place that's used in the whole Bible. Jeremiah said, my people hath been
lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place.
Amen.
That word resting place used one time. One's a number of God. You know what he's saying? They have forgotten God. That he is their rest.
Amen.
I want to say thirdly, and I'm closing. That third evidence that we're a nation without God is satanic deception.
That's right. Amen.
I read this verse a little while ago. I'll read it again. It said in Revelation 20, in verses 7 and 8, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, shall go out to deceive the nation. Whole nation. Which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom says the sand of the sea. You don't think? Right here. To believe in, and I'm going to tell you where he's got you to see. You're thinking everything is all right and everything will turn out okay. I'll just stay in church while everything will come out okay. Folks, I'm going to tell you, you can get as backslidden as a hound dog sitting on the pew of a church.
Amen.
You can.
Amen.
I thought we'd come in here tonight and pull the rafters down on the thought, one nation without God. I thought some of you would get it. Help. I knew it wasn't when we come in the building.
Amen.
Where are you living in that? Deceived? Forgotten our God.
Amen.
And by the way, I want to say this about sin. Jesus said, if you're not with me or for me, you're against me.
Amen.
And God hates sin, friend.
Amen.
And if we don't hate sin, if we pet it and coddle it,
Amen.
We're not a nation with God, under God. We're a nation without God.
Amen.
Let's stand together.